Coming to you across the ether at the speed of light, it's the Mortgage Moment with Mark Wells of Preferred Financial. My friends tell me I have a face for radio, and Carrie Deese, that ninja processor fending off the evil underwriters who want to turn your loan down. Grab a cup of coffee and join us for the next hour as we take a look at USDA loans, 100% financing mortgages for houses in rural areas. Well, Carrie, there's a lot of names for a USDA loan that have been tossed around over the years. So let's go over the list and tell people they might have heard of this program, but it might have been called a different name. What other names do we have for USDA loans?
Well, there's RDA.
All right, and that stands for?
Rural Development Loans.
That's right. That's the Rural Development Authority. USDA, of course, is the U.S. Department of Agriculture. So we're getting the flavor here that we've got rural properties involved. What else?
Sometimes they're just called Department of Agriculture loans.
That's right. And even sometimes just rural development loans, as you mentioned. So a lot of names for this program, but it's all the same program. There really are not separate ones. And these loans, although they are government loans, they're not government-issued loans. They are simply government-insured loans. So just like FHA, and FHA's activity in the mortgage market is not to make loans, but to guarantee loans. In this case, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, in order to encourage housing in rural areas, has developed a home buying program that turns out to be really what I consider a little jewel in the mortgage market. It is literally, apart from a veterans loan, a VA loan, it is the only mortgage product that you can sign on the dotted line and get into a house with not only no down payment, but if you negotiate your contract correctly, you can walk into that house with no money out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And there is virtually no way else to do it. I think this loan certainly should appeal to first-time home buyers, mainly because in going more out of the urbanized areas, you'll generally tend to find more affordable housing. You'll get more house for your money. You won't have to make a down payment on the house. You're probably, because it's further out, going to get a bigger yard. So if you have children, it gives them a place to play. All in all, we find that the USDA loan is just a great choice for a young family, first-time home buyers, who want to consider maybe living a little further out than just the suburban and urban areas. Now, the type of insurance that USDA provides is not insurance if your house burns down, not insurance if somebody steals your belongings. It is insurance that is provided to the lender that covers the lender from any losses if there is a default on the loan and the house goes into foreclosure and the house gets sold. So again, just like FHA does and VA does, the type of insurance that's provided is default insurance. It does not insure the buyer of the home, but it insures the lender who is making the loan. It's what allows the loan to be made with less than the normal down payment.
And it's very, very similar to the regular mortgage insurance on a conventional loan, except this doesn't ever fall off. It's for the life of the loan.
That's right. And it's covered, which we'll talk about in a little while, it's covered in two ways, with a small monthly premium, but also with what is known as a USDA funding fee, which is part of the mortgage insurance structure. So I'm sure in our listening area, our listeners are going to want to know about where do these rural zones, where do we find them? Where can we look in Greenville County, Spartanburg County? What is designated as rural? Carrie, how often does the federal government update their rural zones?
Annually.
Every year. They just issued the new maps, from my understanding, and our USDA website has the new zones. But let's just talk a little bit in general so our listening audience, which has reach even into North Carolina and upper Georgia, will know about where they might can look. If we take Greenville County, Carrie, what areas can you still find designated rural zones that are eligible for this program?
Below the Southern Connector into Piedmont.
Okay.
Furman,
that's south.
Furman University to the northern county line.
In the northern part of the county, that's right.
The Blue Ridge to Spartanburg County.
So if you basically take the line from about Furman and you come along the mountains over through Blue Ridge and all the way to the Spartanburg County line, it encompasses all of that area.
And Five Forks to Woodruff.
So you have to get past Five Forks. And, of course, that's a very suburbanized area now. But just beyond Five Forks, the rural zone picks up and kind of wraps. It goes straight out towards Woodruff, which is in Spartanburg County. But it also wraps towards Fountain Inn, and so there's a little bit of eligibility down in that area. As far as Spartanburg County, that's another county that has a lot of rural zones. What are the boundaries, generally speaking, for those?
North of 85 to the North Carolina state line.
And that would include Lyman and the areas north.
The southern part of the county, starting at Canaan, Roebuck, and Camp Croft.
And then east in Spartanburg County, east of Clifton and out through Gaffney as you're going towards Charlotte and the North Carolina area. And then in the western part of the county, Roebuck is eligible. And then as you cross towards the northwestern section, Lyman and Welford are all eligible zones for the USDA. When we get into Pickens County, it gets kind of easy because really all of Pickens County is eligible except the surrounding city limits of Easley. And Anderson County, other than the city of Anderson and a little bit of outlying area, you're good to use the USDA program in most of Powdersville, in the Williamston and Belton areas, and in the southern parts of the county. Carrie, for the North Carolina listening area, which we encompass Henderson County, Buncombe County, some of those areas in our listening zone, what's available up there?
Pretty much everything other than the suburban areas of Asheville.
So, you know, you might think driving around Greenville County, there's not a lot of rural area left. But in reality, when you look at the rural maps, the way in which the feds designate a zone leaves a lot of property available. And again, very affordable housing in those areas. Usually, you're looking at a slightly older home, but you're also looking at a home that may easily be on an acre and even up to 5 acres of land. The good thing about USDA is it's designed for rural zones. It allows the appraiser to comp as though it's a rural property, which means they can use comparable properties up to 20 miles away. And also, there's no limitation on the total amount of acreage that you can include in the appraisal. There's some restrictions with conventional and FHA loans, but with USDA, they will actually finance any amount of acreage and give you the land value in your appraisal, even if you don't have exact comparables in acreage. So I want to remind our listeners that not only is this a program for buyers and home buyers, but it's a program for sellers. Because if you can put a sign out in your front yard that says this house is eligible for 100% financing, no down payment, that is a tremendous sales tool you can use. So if you have a house that you're selling and you think you might be in a rural zone, call us up. 864-235-9596, or Carrie, how else can they contact
us? You can email us at themortgagemoment@gmail.com, and we'll get right back to you.
We will let you know if your house is in an eligible zone. You can include that in your flyers. You can include that in your marketing of the home. And then for any buyer who is looking in an outlying area, you're welcome to call us also, and we'll provide some maps for you so you'll know the area that you can go house shopping in. The USDA program, again, 100% financing. No down payment required on the program, and the seller is allowed to pay all closing costs and all prepaids if you negotiate that in your contract. Literally one of two programs that allows a home buyer to walk in, sign on the dotted line, and walk out with a house without having put any money out of pocket.
Now, you will typically expected to write a check for earnest money on the contract, but as long as everything is negotiated correctly, you can get that earnest money back at closing.
That's correct. To make a contract legal in South Carolina, there must be earnest money, but that earnest money can be refunded back to you at the closing of a USDA loan. Grab a cup of coffee while we're on break. Come back and join us. We're going to go into the ins and outs of who can apply for this program, and some of the advantages of USDA financing when we return off the break.
...94.5 WGTK, The Answer.
back. Thanks for hanging in there with us. Carrie, we're talking about USDA loans, sometimes called RDA or Rural Development Loans. Went to the USDA website. Who can apply for this program? Who is allowed to obtain a USDA loan?
Well, a legal adult, so someone who's at least 18 years old.
Okay, so no kids.
No kids.
You can have kids, but they can't take out the loan. Got to be an adult.
You have to meet the income eligibility.
All right.
USDA has income caps. You can make too much money for this program.
That's one of the oddities. We're going to talk about the quirks of USDA, but one of the quirks is that you actually can make too much money to qualify for this program.
Mm-hmm.
That's not many things where you can make too much money. You know, too much money is not a bad thing, but every now and then with USDA, it can keep you from getting a USDA loan.
You have to agree to personally occupy the dwelling as your primary residence. So no
okay.
second homes, no investment properties.
And that's exactly right. An investor cannot use USDA to buy a rental home out in the country. Has to be owner-occupied.
Right.
Okay.
You have to be a U.S. citizen, a non-citizen national, or a qualified resident alien.
Okay. And that covers most visa and green card holders. So that they're not excluded from this program. And who else, Kiri?
You can't have been suspended or debarred from participation in federal programs.
Okay, and what might that be? What might disbar someone or they're ineligible for a USDA loan?
If you've defaulted on any kind of government loan.
Okay, and that would include student loans.
Sure.
That are defaulted on. We can help you reinstate your student loan so that you can regain your eligibility. But if you're delinquent on federal income taxes, any debt that is owed to the federal government would temporarily exclude you until that debt had been satisfied.
Right. And if you'd maybe previously had a foreclosure on an FHA loan or another USDA loan.
And there's some time parameters.
Yep.
That's correct. That would come into play. Now, the advantages of USDA are multiple. We mentioned already that the number one is just it is 100% financing. That is good news for the buyer and the seller. And again, we encourage sellers to call us if they're going to list their home for sale, or if their home is currently listed for sale, we can identify it as a USDA eligible property. And that is a great selling tool. So 100% financing, no money down. The seller is allowed to pay all closing costs and prepaids, which means that the buyer can get into a house with no money out of pocket. As Kiri mentioned, you'll have to write an earnest money check to make your contract legal, but you can be refunded that earnest money at closing. Another huge advantage of USDA is the PMI coverage is half the cost, really less than half the cost of an FHA loan, even though this is a 100% loan, and FHA is not a 100% loan. You would expect the PMI to be much, much higher, but the government to encourage housing in rural zones has basically lowered the PMI coverage to less than half of what it is on an FHA loan. Now, even in lowering the PMI, you don't pay for that in a higher rate because the rates are very comparable to FHA and conventional programs. Given the general score requirements, the rates are not very much different. Another huge advantage of USDA is you're able to finance and include any amount of acreage in the appraisal, even if there are not direct comps with that much. You can even, if there is a working portion of this property that is being used for farmland, that is acceptable also. And many other programs will not include financing if there is a working business or farm on the property, but USDA certainly will. And Kiri, if you take a USDA loan, and let's say you have a $150,000 house, and you take a USDA loan for that house and you put it next to an FHA loan for that house, how will the payments compare one to the other?
You know, it's about the same. You just don't have to come up with that 3.5% minimum down payment.
And that's pretty amazing because of you're borrowing more money because you're not putting the 3.5% down. But because the PMI coverage is much cheaper, you can buy a USDA home for no money down for about what you would pay for an FHA loan where you'd have to come up with 3.5% down. So those are all huge advantages of USDA. We can't go into any government product without, you know, the caution, we're from the government and we're here to help you. So along with the USDA loan and all the tremendous advantages of it come what I call the quirks of the USDA loans. And these are just some kind of bizarre underwriting conditions that don't normally apply to other loan programs. Where they came up with them, I'm not entirely sure. Some of them probably made sense 70 years ago when they started this program and may not now. But as it is, we have a little bit of a quirky program. Now, part of our job in screening you for any loan is to help you through the quirks. So we will look at all these things that we're going to talk about. And if you're going to go out looking for homes, you should call us. So first of all, we can do a pre-qualification, and we can let you know if you're eligible to use the USDA program. And Carrie, give our listeners again our contact information, phone and email.
You can call us at 864-235-9596. You can email us at themortgagemoment@gmail.com. And I'll just throw in there, if you want to listen to this show again or any of our past shows, visit our website at preferredfinancialgreenville.com.
Thanks, Carrie. Let's talk about the biggest quirk of the USDA loan, and that is you can make too much money.
Right.
All right. Not many programs where somebody's going to tell you that, but this one actually has income limits. And for your eligibility, that is not your qualifying, but just to say, could you possibly get a USDA loan? They use one way of calculating your income, but then to qualify you, they use another way. So Let's talk about, first of all, Carrie, for your eligibility income, could you possibly get a USDA loan? What criteria do they use to determine whether you can or not?
Well, first off, unlike any other program, they use your household income.
Okay. And household income here, we got to tell our listeners what that actually means to the USDA system. What is household income?
So any working adult in the house will have to prove all of the income documentation.
Okay. So what would happen? Like, let's say we have a parent that is older, and they're on Social Security, and they're living with their children, and they're going to live in this house. We got to throw their income into the household income figures?
Yep, that's right.
But I'm not going to put them on the loan.
Right.
So even though I'm leaving them off the loan, I've got to put their income in the income eligibility.
Right.
I told you it was quirky. Okay, the other situations in which there might be household income is quite often with loans, we split the spouses out. Occasionally, we'll have a spouse who might not have as good a credit score or may not even have a qualifying score, so we'll leave them off the loan. And when you leave them off a regular loan, you can't use their income. However, with USDA loan, if you split the spouses, you still can't lose the income for eligibility purposes.
Right.
You're not going to use it for qualifying purposes. But to say, can you take a USDA loan and get one, you got to throw that spouse's income into the hopper.
And even if you say, hey, my spouse is a stay-at-home mom or dad, he or she has no income at all, we still have to prove that. We have to show tax returns showing that there's no income and get a letter from that person saying that they don't intend to return to the workplace.
That's right. And just in case someone out there has a sneaky mind and says, I'll get around this because how can they possibly know that my parent is living with me? Well, there are these things called tax returns, and you have to file an address on a tax return. And if your parent's filing address is the same as yours, well, then they're going to pretty well know your parents are living with you.
Lenders have all of these third-party reports that they can
run. That is correct. They can find out.
Yep, they find out
everything.
And
so don't try to cheat the system.
It's better to just tell us up front.
Absolutely. So the quirkiness of USDA is that you cannot make above a certain amount of income. Now, what is that figure? Well, that figure varies from county to county. And so, again, you'll need to call us, 864-235-9596, and give us the county in which you think you will be buying, and we can give you the income limit for the county because it's done county by county. But let me give you some general parameters. It also varies not only by county, but it varies by how big your family is. And then it can be varied according to what your child expenses are for child care. And so there are a lot of things that could go into it, but in general terms, the income limit that if you make above $78,500 as a household, you will not be eligible in most of the upstate counties and most of the western North Carolina counties. So that 78.5 figure is a family of four. A family of two cannot make more than about 72.5. If you have a family of six, it goes up a little bit. So there's some parameters. But just keep in mind about 78,500 in annual household income is the cutoff point. Now, Carrie, while we mentioned that all household income is used to determine eligibility, how do we calculate qualifying income? That is the income on which debts and income are going to be scrutinized to see if they can afford the house.
Well, typically it's the same as with other loans. We'll use your base income. We'll only use overtime or shift differential if you've been receiving it for 2 years.
Correct. So all base income can be used, but any irregular income, overtime, shift differentials, things like that.
Right.
That has to be, you have to have received it for 2 years, and we have to average it for the 2 years you've had it.
Now, for the eligibility portion, even if you haven't received it for 2 years, they most likely will default to the higher figure and disqualify you if you've been making some overtime.
Yeah, we had a situation not long ago where we had the client completely approved on a USDA loan. Their income was $200 under the eligibility income, and they got a bonus. And it killed the USDA loan.
Mm-hmm. And it's such a double standard, you know.
It really is. But again, it's one of the quirks in USDA loans. So just keep in mind, you can call us and we can check out your household income as well as your qualifying income. And we can do a pre-qualification. We even have the automated underwriting program for the USDA loan. And we can let you know whether you're qualified to use this program on all fronts. So feel free to contact us at any time. The last several other quirks of the USDA loan. We'll get back to most of them when we get back off the break. But the appraisal on a USDA loan includes a minimal home inspection. So the appraisals run $100 to $125 more than the other programs. We'll talk about some other appraisal issues when we get back off the break.
WGTK, The Answer.
And we're back. Going into the second half of our program here, talking about USDA loans. Reminding everyone, you can call us at 864-235-9596, email us at themortgagemoment@gmail.com, and you can even fill out an application on our website at preferredfinancialgreenville.com.
Feel free to use any of those tools. We're here to help and to get you in line to purchase a home. We're talking about the appraisal requirements on a USDA loan, and that, which is different from any other type of loan. A portion of the USDA appraisal is taken up with an actual inspection. It's unique in that way. There are no other loan programs that include any kind of formalized inspection, but USDA does. Because of that, the cost of a USDA appraisal is going to run about $575 to $595 rather than the normal $475 to $500. So it's a little more expensive because it's a little more involved. And appraisers have to have a special designation to be able to do a USDA loan. And that includes having to take education courses and upgrade their professional credentials. So it's all a little more expensive. Carrie, you had mentioned earlier that when you apply for a USDA loan, you do need to pay for the appraisal up front. Can they get that money back under this program?
They can. However, you have to pay it with a debit card because the lender will require us to source that payment, see it coming out of your account in order to have the seller refund it.
That's right. So if they allowed you to pay for your appraisal on a credit card, you would have borrowed some of the money for your down payment, and that's not allowed.
Right, right. So if you do it that way, you know, that is one thing that you would not be able to get back, and it is a charge that you do have to pay up front.
Correct. Very good. So it's refundable if you use a debit card. Use a credit card, which is okay to do, but you can't be reimbursed
right.
for it. Now, the appraisal home inspection with USDA has its own quirkiness. There are some things that USDA requires that you will never see as basic requirements on other loan programs. Some of them you do, but here they are. You have to have at least 5 years remaining life on the roof. When the USDA appraiser goes out, he has to certify that the roof should last 5 years or more. He will also examine the insulation, and the house must be insulated to regional energy efficiency standards. Now, those vary a little bit from zone to zone, but in our area, that generally means you've got to have R30 insulation in the attic, R13 in the walls, and R19 in the floors. The truth is, he cannot know what kind of insulation is in the walls, unless he wants to knock a hole in your wall, which he won't do. So we find that the wall insulation, although on paper is a requirement, it never becomes an issue because, quite frankly, who knows what's behind the walls.
And if anybody else has no idea what R30, R13, and R19 are, I'm right there with you.
Well, good. And don't ask me. I'm just reading these numbers out. Those are actually about 9 inches of insulation, bat insulation under the house, and usually a blown insulation in the ceiling that's more like 12 to 14 inches.
And this is proof that Mark knows everything.
Well, yes, I used to be a builder, so these things hang around in my mind, and they haunt my dreams, and I wake up thinking about R30 insulation at night. Now, most rural properties are going to have a well and a septic tank. Not all of them, but most of them will. So part of the inspection that the appraiser has to do involves inspecting the well to make sure it's set up correct, although we need additional inspections on the well that we'll talk about. And he has to make sure that the septic system is working well. How do you do that? You just kind of flush the toilet, and if the water goes down, he pretty well will say that it's in working condition. There's some strange things about electrical systems. USDA will not close on a house in which fuses are used in the fuse box of the electrical panel. All of those have to be converted to circuit breakers. And we actually do run across this quite often with a rural house that was built in the 50s. It will have fuses in the circuit panel. Can that be fixed? Absolutely. Is it expensive? Not really. Most of the time, we get electrical panels upgraded for under $1,000 almost any home, and it's really safer. Circuit breakers are really much safer than fuses anyway, but that is a requirement of USDA. You cannot have an unused oil tank on the property. Now, if in the inspection he finds an unused oil tank, and these were generally in-ground tanks that were used back in the 40s and 50s for heating houses with oil, what you have to do with that tank is you can either remove it, which I can promise you you don't want to do, or you can fortunately just fill it with sand and cap it, and then you're okay. This is just to meet some government environmental requirements, but you cannot leave that oil tank where it could be used in the future. You have to remove it or cap it. A fairly strange requirement here, because it doesn't appear in any other loan programs, but I actually think this is a pretty important thing, and I like it. And that is, every bedroom must have a window through which the average adult can get out of the window in the case of a fire. You know, that's not a very bad idea in any house. But again, some of the older homes actually had much smaller windows in them than new homes do. And if you had a fire in the house and had to get out of the house, you might not be able to get out through that window. So that's deep trouble. Well, my goodness, what do you do if your house doesn't meet the window requirements? Again, hey, we're really fortunate. We've got all kinds of products, and you can pick up any one of the window replacement companies. They are able to come in and install a window that will give you the egress requirements, even if the size of the overall window doesn't look like it would work because there are types of windows they can install where you can literally push the entire sash of the window out. All of the glass can be pushed out to the ground, and you can get out that way. So what they call egress windows in all bedrooms is a USDA requirement.
And similarly, if you've got a burglar bars, now I can't imagine you would have these in a rural property, but for any loan programs, you do have to have a latch on the inside for that same safety egress.
Exactly. And it's a good idea anyway, even if the government wasn't requiring it. The last little quirk in a USDA loan is that they will not finance a house that has a swimming pool. Now, I really don't know why that is. Carrie, have you ever heard any explanation about that?
No, not at all.
So I guess somebody somewhere in their ivory tower said, "Lo, thou peasants in the countryside, you may not have a swimming pool in your house." I don't know. But this, we had one maybe, I think it was last year sometime. And fortunately, they plan to remove the pool anyway. But this actually can apply to an above ground pool also. And it's an issue with USDA. So maybe you have to cover up your swimming pool with sand also, and then you can dig all that sand out after you've got your USDA loan. And,
yeah, it doesn't mean you can't put one in later.
Yeah, you can put one in later. You just can't have one when you buy it. So in regard to wells and septic tanks, another requirement is that we have to do a well inspection, which is a water quality inspection that includes testing for bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not a bad idea. You don't want to go into a house and get sick the first week you're in there because the well has bacteria in it. So a well test is required. The well has to be certified to be more than 50 feet away from the septic tank drainage field. And again, you certainly would want that. It's very rare. I can't even recall a time where a house has not met these standards because, you know, most of it's kind of common practical sense. You don't want to stick your well in your septic field. So we don't usually have issues with these, but they are some of the quirks of USDA. The last one is that the crawl space has to have at least 18 inches of clearance in all of the crawl space. And I did about 10 years ago, I had a loan that got killed because of that. We had it all approved. We had it all ready. We shipped it to USDA for their approval. They checked the crawl space, and it wasn't 18 inches. They turned the loan down. So most homes, all homes built now, the codes require that. But back then, you know, there in many counties were no building codes, and so we occasionally run across one that way.
Now, we mentioned that the appraisal includes a home inspection. While the appraisal is more specific, this doesn't mean that you don't need to get your own home inspection. Because the independent home inspection that you order will inspect some additional items that the appraisal does not cover. So definitely don't depend on that.
That's really good advice. And I'm glad you brought that up, Carrie. The USDA inspection as such is covering some pretty unusual things. And it's not going to tell you how long your air conditioner is going to last or how long or whether you've got other issues. So we do recommend a home inspection, especially for older homes. We're going to talk about when we – well, last thing before we leave this. Just take note that the federally designated rural areas do change every year. So you may have been looking for a house a few years ago in an area that now may not be eligible. Again, feel free to contact us. We can certify whether any particular address is in an eligible zone or is not. For buyers, we can give you a geographical area you can go shopping in. For sellers, we can let you know if you can add USDA to your marketing for your house. When we get back, we'll talk about qualifying for a USDA loan.
WGTK, The Answer.
Wake up, Alice. We're going down the home stretch here. Steve, hang in there just a little more time. We're talking about USDA loans, and Carrie, we want to talk about the borrower qualifying for a USDA loan. Now, this is not eligibility.
Right.
By this time, we have determined that you don't make too much money. Maybe it's like Goldilocks, you know. Yeah, a little too cold, a little too hot. Just right. We need that just right borrower. So you need enough income to qualify, but you can't make too much. So let's talk about the other underwriting qualifications for a USDA loan. Where do the credit scores have to fall before you can apply for a USDA loan?
Well, the minimum is a 620, although we typically won't see a GUS, which is the USDA version of the automated underwriting. We typically won't see a GUS approval that low. We need to see usually at least a 640.
Yeah, we know this, and Carrie likes to throw these terms around like GUS. I love government terms.
I know.
So GUS, GUS is the government underwriting system. That is the way in which they determine really whether you will be able to qualify for USDA loan. We run that up front for you. So before you ever go out and look for a house, we can tell you if GUS has approved you. However, our experience is though USDA posts a 620 minimum, we rarely see approvals even in the 640 range anymore. What happened is about a year and a half ago, GUS changed.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to see routine approvals in the 620 to 640 range. I don't remember one we've seen since that little tweak to the underwriting system. And we've even seen a lot in the 650 to 660 range that don't get approvals. So I think the default rate on these loans had probably skyrocketed.
They must have.
And they just tightened down. So right now we're in one of those times where we may not be able to get an approval where we have kind of minimal or marginal credit scores. But GUS will tell us, and we listen to GUS. When he speaks, we listen. So we will run GUS for you and let you know whether you qualify. What about debt ratios, Carrie? Affordability? What kind of debt ratios does USDA set?
There's a 28% max housing ratio. That's your principal, interest, taxes, and insurance versus all of your debt.
Okay. And how rigid is that?
You know, there are some compensating factors that let it go up to 29 to 32.
But pretty much there, it's just a no-go.
It's just a no-go.
Yeah.
Right.
And whereas conventional, like if you didn't have any other debt, it might approve you up to a 39-40% house ratio.
Mm-hmm.
GUS will simply not do that. There's an absolute ceiling at 32 to 33, no matter what your compensating factors are. And Carrie, if you are above 28%, what things are considered compensating factors that might get you to stretch that a little higher?
Well, as long as your total debt ratio isn't above 44%, which typically 41 is their maximum. Here we go. You got your pen ready?
Hit me, Gus.
Have at least a 680 credit score.
Okay.
And one of the following. The new PITI, principal, interest, taxes, insurance.
Your house payment.
Your house payment must be equal to or less than your current verified housing expense for the last 12 months. So if you've been renting.
Okay.
The payment must have been more than or equal to the new payment.
So in other words, let me get this straight. So a compensating factor would be if you'd been paying $850 rent and your house payment under USDA was not more than $850,
mm-hmm.
that's a compensating factor.
Yes.
Because you're not increasing your housing expense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
You have to have, or you can have 3 months of reserves.
Now, reserves are money left over in the bank after you close this loan.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And 3 months is 3 months of what?
Total house payment.
Okay. So if your house payment under your USDA program is $1,000 a month and you want to have a compensating factor, you've got to have $3,000 in the bank when you walk away at closing, and that's considered one of the compensating factors.
Right.
Okay.
Or you can have been at your current job for 2 or more years.
Okay. So job stability mm-hmm. is a compensating factor.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. You said, okay, you got to have at least a 680 score. And how many of the compensating factors? One other?
680 score.
Uh-huh.
Your total debt ratio or your ratios have to be between 29 and 32 on the bottom
uh-huh.
or 44 on the other end.
Okay.
And one of those three other items.
So let me say this about that. Call us.
Yeah, call us.
It's a whole lot easier than us trying to explain all this to you. We will tell you if you have compensating factors, and we will compensate you right into a home if we can.
Now, some other compensating factors just in general to make your credit profile stronger. Your ability to accrue reserves, they look at very strongly. So if you've shown in the past that you have consistently had more money in the bank, they'll look at that. If you've shown a conservative use of your credit,
especially credit cards.
Yep. They'll look very favorably of that.
Okay.
Or you have the potential for increased earnings.
So there's kind of a range of risk assessment here where you might be able to stretch the ratios, but these are probably more rigid ratios than any other program we encounter.
They are.
Everywhere else, we kind of can bend the affordability ratios and stuff, but this one's a tough one to do it with. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we got to go in and process this USDA loan. And when we start to do that, we are at the beginning point of quite an ordeal, because there is, again, unique to USDA, a second level of approval that has to be done. So, Carrie, let's talk about that. First of all, if you're going to sign a contract on a rural home that you expect to close a USDA loan on, how many days should you give yourself to get this thing done?
Give it 60 days.
Please. And if there's any realtor out there, please, 60 days.
Yeah.
And we're going to tell you why in a minute. It's not going to be because we can't get our job done, but this loan gets turned over to a government agency at some point. And we have confirmed, and this is an announcement unique to 94.5 The Answer, we have confirmed the existence of black holes.
Yep.
Okay. And the black holes that exist are at the regional USDA offices that review these files. Because when the file goes in there for their review, it falls into a black hole.
Yep.
Okay. It can be emitted later on as extraneous radiation, but it will go into a black hole and you will not know where it's gone or when it is likely to come out. So the process of a USDA loan is a more deliberated and slow process. Also, we find that in the USDA inspections that are done, quite often, little things need to be fixed. You may need to add those egress windows. Mm-hmm. You may need to come in and blow a little more insulation in the attic. You may have to get that electrical panel upgraded, or you may have to cleanse your well. And that happens a lot. If you get a bacteria count in your well check, you've got to go through a cleansing process. That can take about 2 weeks.
Yep.
And you have to retest the well after that. So there are a lot of reasons that you should allow more time for a USDA loan. So for our borrowers out there, but particularly for our realtors, our professionals out there in the field, please don't raise your borrowers' expectations if you're going to let them use a USDA loan. It's going to take a little bit more time.
And that doesn't mean we can't close them faster than 60.
That's right. It happens.
Let me not say 30.
Yeah, don't say 30. We do get them quicker, but we don't want to raise expectations or disappoint someone about when they're going to occupy their home, or for the seller, when they're going to be able to move out.
There's nothing worse than setting the wrong expectation and having to go back on it.
Okay, so what happens in the process of a USDA loan is that we will take all of your information, all your application, just like we do with any other loan. We will collect your income documentation, your W-2s, your tax returns, all of the things that we have to do. We will submit the loan to the lender for underwriting. We will order the USDA appraisal, and we will get everything done that under the course of a normal loan, we would have your loan pretty well ready to close in about 30 days. But with the USDA loan, what happens then is once the lender's completely approved it, cleared it to close, you're ready to go, your file gets shipped to the appropriate regional USDA office. And there, the file must be reviewed by USDA and approved by USDA. Now, for South Carolina, that regional office used to be in Spartanburg, but it's now in Aiken. I'm not sure about Western North Carolina, but the regional office is where we have confirmed that black holes do exist. When your file goes in there, there are no posted turnaround times. There is no ability to call and check on the status of your loan. Hey, am I number three in line or number 300 in line? You don't know. It's a black hole. And we just don't know when it's going to pop back out of there. We will, from time to time, have files come back from the USDA regional office in 2 days. Mm-hmm. It's just a breeze, and we go, oh, my gosh, what happened? I think our record was 24 days.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Just bad. And so we just tell everyone at that point, we've all done everything we can do. Just be patient. It will come out. Now, here's some good news about that. Is in all the 29-year history of doing USDA loans, where a lender has approved the USDA loan, I have only had USDA reverse me on two. And in both cases, they were property issues, not borrower qualifying issues. So the USDA is not really going to re-underwrite your file as far as your credit and all that stuff is concerned, but they probably will scrutinize the property because that seems to be their red button issue, their hot button issue. So just give it some time. 60 days is good. Let's go back over the benefits in the cost of a USDA loan. Carrie, what's the number one benefit to the borrower in a USDA loan?
No down payment.
No down payment. 100%
loan.
Zero, nada, nothing. Give them earnest money and you can even get it back. Pay for your appraisal. If you do it with a debit card, you can get that back too. What other advantages, Carrie, as far as costs go, are associated with the USDA loan, say compared to some of the others?
The funding fee is only 1% versus 1.75% on FHA and up to 3.3% on VA.
So the funding fee, which is part of the PMI structure, is less than a third of VA and almost half of what FHA is. And the funding fee is financed into the loan. You don't have to come out of pocket with that either. It's financed on top of the loan. Then the PMI factor on a USDA loan, as I mentioned, means that, for instance, on a $150,000 loan, if you were getting an FHA loan, the PMI would be about $106 a month. With USDA, it's $46 a month. So no down payment, seller paid closing costs, lower PMI, all great reasons to use a USDA loan. Not just a zero down payment loan, but literally can be a zero cost loan. Call us today. We'll see if you're qualified to pursue a USDA loan, and if you're a seller, we'll let you know if your house is eligible to sell under a USDA product. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.